Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, Elaine Loughlin, Deputy Political Editor, writing in the Irish Examiner this morning, says the three government leaders have refused to row back on the decision to end the eviction ban from next month ahead of a crunch vote this week. The Taoiseach, Taoiseach and Green Party leader last night thrashed out the wording of a counter-motion to the one tabled by Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin is hopeful that this week's motion on extending the eviction ban, which is primarily aimed at putting pressure on the coalition, will see the government's voting margin drop to the lowest yet. Well, on the line is Fine Gael TD Bernard Durkin, Sinn Féin TD Raida Cronin, both representatives in North Kildare. Welcome to you both, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning, Owen.
Bernard, we might start off with you, and while this is not a motion of no confidence, it's a motion that Sinn Féin are bringing forward that will probably and most likely put pressure on the government. Do you feel as though the government has made the wrong decision here?
Well, I have spent a lot of years on this issue of housing and predicted the present situation long, long ago. And it is a serious situation. It's getting no better. And despite the efforts of government, government has made some major achievements, but the opposition will say not enough. And that's a question. In relation to the ban on evictions, I think it was helpful at the time. I'm not certain that it should go on forever or for an extended period on the basis that maybe it might create a cliff edge situation at the end of the day, and that it might be even worse than now, and that we might walk ourselves into a situation of safety on the basis that the ban was in place and the ban was going to protect the people who are likely to come home.
Okay, Bernard, you might just move around for me there, Bernard, because your line is breaking up a little bit, so you might move around and we'll just try and get some better signal on that.
Sorry about that.
Raida, if we bring you in here, what's your view?
Well, I was actually shocked when I actually felt the blood draining from my face when I heard that it wasn't going to be extended. And since that announcement, the figures that were released by the RTB the week before last there are just, they're shocking. The fact that we're, and this means that people are going to, there's going to be a rise in rough sleeping, there's going to be a rise in children being referred to Garda stations for a safe place to sleep. The government, they just don't get it. In quarter three of last year, there were 4,741 eviction notices served. Last night on DAFT, there was 1,183 houses for rent. Here in Kildare, we had 219 eviction notices served in Q3 last year, and we only had 44 houses to rent in Kildare and DAFT. Now, I don't need to tell any of your listeners there that 219 into 44 does not go. So this is a direct consequence of government failure. For years they've over-relied on the private sector to meet the social and affordable housing need. So let's be perfectly clear here that, you know, it's not the landlords who are the baddies, it's the politicians, it's the government. And Fine Gael have been in government now for 12 years, and rather than build social housing for those who are reliant on the public services of a home and allowing rent to be paid into an invested into the local authorities, we've had this laissez-faire government of Fine Gael, and we're joined with Fianna Fáil now and the Greens, and they farmed out this public service out into the private sector for people who need help to provide a roof over their head. It's been a complete abuse of public monies. It's squandering taxpayers that are paid by the citizens of Ireland, and it is basically, and this long-term leasing, you might as well set fire to the money. I have people contacting me now. This is affecting everybody. Ireland is a very, very small country. We all know where there's only 3 or 4 degrees of separation. I have people contacting me now who are above the limit for social housing. They're above the income threshold for affordable renting, and they are still facing eviction because 219 into 44 does not go.
Okay. Bernard Durkin.
They have nowhere to go, and I'd like to ask Bernard, where are these people meant to go if they're evicted?
Yeah, well, I'm afraid, Raida, I've been dealing with it for a long, long time, all these things long before it became reality.
Bernard, that line is not great. That line is not great.
I wonder what's wrong.
We need you to move around a little bit because that signal is not perfect for us there. So
is that better?
It's a little bit better, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
I'm sorry about that.
Go on.
Anyway, I have raised this issue. I've put forward numerous proposals to all governments, different governments, 20 years as to how to deal with the situation.
Okay, no, we'll give Bernard a ring back to try and see if we can get that line a little bit better, so just bear with us, Bernard. Raida, just to bring you in there, and I saw a tweet from Fine Gael last night to say that Sinn Féin has blocked at least 12,000 homes, that Sinn Féin could help the situation, but they choose not to, and then cynically criticise others. What do you say in response to that?
Well, I really don't want to be giving advice to Fine Gael, but whoever they're using for their focus groups must be around the bend, because Sinn Féin aren't in government. Sinn Féin, we don't have people in on board Pinnalla stopping houses being built. The reason that houses aren't being built is completely, this is all at their doorstep. It's complete nonsense that they're talking about. People, you know, we have an Our House Convention. People have a right to make observations, but Sinn Féin aren't stopping any houses being built. We object to public land being given for free to private developers, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I haven't objected to any houses. You know, according to the Our House Convention, you're allowed to make observations, but we do not have people stopping houses being built. The only people stopping houses being built is the government, and that's Fine Gael. So, you know, let them off.
Okay, Bernard Durkin is back in here. Come on, Bernard.
I think that's a ridiculous remark, and it's the whole effort by Sinn Féin is for political advantage and seeking to make political capital out of a very serious situation that affects an awful lot of people in County Kildare and throughout the country. The government is well aware of the situation and has taken what steps it can in the fastest way possible to build extra houses. Whether they be in the private sector or the public sector, they meet the housing market, whichever market is most pressed. And the most pressing market now is the availability of rentable houses from either the private sector or the public sector. And in relation to this, each of the local authorities have been encouraged and pursued repeatedly by government to expand, to develop housing sites, to develop various schemes such as private sites in order to meet the housing crisis. And I think we shouldn't trivialise and use the situation for politically advantageous purposes when it is a serious situation which involves very many people, all of whom are our respective constituents. I think that in that situation we need to spend more time working out how and why it might be possible to allow the local authorities to contract the private sector, which is the private sector who build the houses anyway, in any event. The local authorities don't build houses themselves, they contract out to the private sector. That can and is being done at the present time and is being ordered. It's not been happening quickly enough to meet the demand, but I think that's for government to concentrate on now.
Okay, Bernard, what would you say to those people who are going to be made homeless when this eviction ban is lifted at the end of the month? Where are they going to go?
Well, I'm like everybody else, I'm watching this carefully. I'm not so sure that at the end of this month that people are going to be made homeless automatically. A number of warrants have been issued in relation to various situations. I believe that a lot of the rental sector, the small landlords in particular, will be conscious of the fact that, you know, people have little or no options, and that they will give them some opportunity to make alternative arrangements over a longer period.
Okay, for those that don't, so that you're relying there on the landlords, you know, to just let me finish, Bernard. Let me finish.
Right.
You're relying on the landlords to maybe, you know, be more moral and helpful to those that are in that situation. What about those that don't do that and those who will be made homeless at the end of the month?
Well, I think what we have to do is we have to tackle the situation as it emerges. Let's see what happens at the end of the month. Let's quantify the exact position. Let's not just speculate and presume the worst is going to happen to everybody. Let's find out exactly where we stand in relation to meeting that demand of those people who are under threat of being homeless at the end of the month. I don't think that's going to happen, and that's not just wishful thinking. This has happened before. When there was no ban on eviction, and there were many, many landlords, and still are many landlords, who are very helpful to their renters and do everything possible to accommodate them, and don't wish to have a cliff-edge situation where they're pushed out on the roadside, as it were. I will be doing my utmost to deal with that situation, and as I have done in the past, and it's up to everybody else to do the same.
Okay, Raida Cronin.
You know, I appreciate that Bernard is a decent man, but Fine Gael has been, you know, they have put private profit over public good all the time. They're obsessed with these investors instead of looking after workers and families. What is our Fine Gael TDs going to tell people who have nowhere to go? Are they going to tell them that the market is going to look after them? Like, it's really is appalling. And I heard Deputy Hayden on the radio the week before last telling listeners that the local authorities will be providing extra capacity. Listen, Kildare County Council are being actually very good. Of all the councils, they're not the worst of them. But the hotels in North Kildare are already full of people from Dublin. People from North Kildare are being sent down to Athy. People from South Kildare are being sent to neighbouring counties. I even heard of one being sent to Roscommon. I have people come to me and they are frantic. And parents are feeling like failures. And I tell them all the time that this is not their fault, that 219 into 44 does not go. This is not their fault. This is completely the fault of the government. And they are, I'm sure they're contacting Bernard as well. People who have pets are worried about what they're going to do now. Their children are showing signs of distress. I had one telling me there that their children, they're picking at their nails, they're pulling off their toenails. They're so frantic about the idea of being made homeless. You know, if you look around your home, all the stuff you have, you know, your furniture, your toys, clothes, you know, your tools, all the things that kind of we add to our lives that makes our house a home.
Okay.
Where are they going to put all those things, the storage? And, you know, apart from all the eviction notices, there's other people who aren't on the RTB, who landlords who aren't on the RTB, who also, for people who are also facing eviction bans. This is going to the kick in now in April and May. And you know, it's absolutely terrible. And I really think that the priorities of this government, they're fully exposed. Like, I have to wonder if they tested this in some focus group and found that their core voters would tolerate this, you know, inhumanity. Like, we're facing a humanitarian crisis here. And I really think Fine Gael seem to be indifferent to people's sufferings. You know, this isn't about outrage. I really, you know, you can't listen to people. You can't have people in your office crying and looking absolutely broken and it's not to affect you. You know, when these people still have to get on with their lives, that many of them are still going to have to go to work. They're still going to have to, their kids are out to school. They're still going to have to wash and dry their uniforms, get their homework done.
Okay, and just to come back in there, I'm reading an article that Jennifer Bray wrote in the Irish Times this morning, and she said that normally the government is assured of support from a not insubstantial number of independent politicians, TDs from the 8-member regional independent group, which contains deputies like Dennis Nocton, Cathal Berry, of course, Michael Lowry, Verona Murphy. They've all backed the government in key Dáil votes in the past. But members of that group who spoke to the Irish Times on Monday still remained undecided on how they will vote. And Bernard, we've already seen a couple of Green Party TDs say that they're going to side with the opposition when it comes to this vote. In your heart of hearts, Bernard, do you think that lifting the eviction ban was the right decision?
Well, this the jury is still out on this question. I would have been of the opinion that to postpone the lifting of the ban for a time. But the question then arises, which the government stands on at the present time, is that it would make it worse at the end of the day. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I think that whatever is done needs to be done in order to stabilise the situation as it now presents itself.
Okay.
And there's not a chance, for instance, that we're going to produce thousands of houses in the next 6 months. That can't happen and won't happen. And remember, we live in a very volatile, financial, worldwide, global financial situation at the present time. Look at the banks that are folding and going to the wall. So we don't, we need to be conscious of those kind of things, and everything that we do is being observed from afar. So whatever is done in the economy, the financial policy, the fiscal policies in any country in Europe and elsewhere is being watched.
Right. Can I put another question to you, Bernard, that I would have put to James Lawless and I would have put to Martin Hayden as well. So I'll put the same to you. Why could a solution not be found in tandem with the eviction ban still being in place? So what that means is, why could we not leave the eviction ban in place, and while we're trying to find a solution, people still have that security? Why do we have to end the eviction ban and then try and find a solution?
Well, I think the other way around, I would put it. I think that if the government was coming into the situation, and when the government came, made the decision that the ban was going to be ended now, then there is a need for a package of proposals to alleviate the situation arising from that. And that means that there should be a package of affordable houses, and by one means. I know that the government have put forward some proposals, but not directly in a way that would meet the demand head on. And I think I think the point you make is a good one, that if you're going to make a decision that's going to create a situation for some people, whether it be a real situation or a worse situation or a better situation, I don't know. But it would have been a good idea to come forward with a package of proposals which says we're going to provide affordable housing of a specific number, and we're going to provide log cabins in rural areas. We're going to provide system-built houses in urban areas. We're going to provide... That's what government, I think, needs to say and needs to do at this stage, and I will be pressing for that at our own parliamentary party meeting tomorrow night.
OK, Rheda,
I think that it's obvious there that Bernard agrees with me, and Bernard should be, I'll tell him what he should be pressing that as parliamentary party. He should also be pressing in line with the Sinn Féin motion tomorrow night when we're voting on it. You know, there are measures that we can bring in. You know, the social housing, the tenants in situ scheme. I know Owen O'Brien wrote to Minister O'Brien and asked him to make sure, because not every local authority is doing that. I know Kildare County Council are doing it, you know, every council has to do that. They need a circular instructing them to do that. We also have to look at the affordable cost rental tenant in situ scheme. This will keep people in housing. We have to treat this as an emergency. This is, with, you know, there was nearly 5,000 eviction notices served. That's going to affect many thousands more people. We have to look at this. There was that many people made homeless overnight. If we had an earthquake and we were at war or something like that, the government would face this as an emergency. I believe it's a humanitarian crisis, and an emergency powers must be mobilised. They can absolutely sort this out. We need to look at vacant, derelict homes alongside the use of a good high-grade modular building technology for new homes for people. And they can do that, keep the ban. And I would urge my constituency colleague here to please vote with Sinn Féin. Talk to your colleagues. I'm sure people in the backbenches, they have more power than they think, and they should absolutely use it. I'm begging of him to use it and to treat this as the humanitarian crisis that it is.
We're going to catch up on some of the messages in a moment, because it's you know, sparked a lot of conversation and a lot of messages are coming in. I just want to refer to a poll that we ran on Twitter and Instagram last night, simply asking the question, should the eviction ban have been lifted, yes or no? And 81% said no, it should not have been lifted. 19% said yes, it should have been lifted. And that poll is up on our Twitter and Instagram without any comment. Just finally then, Rheda, to you, what about the argument here? People would say that it's easy for Sinn Féin in opposition, right? And this comes up time and time again. It's easy for Sinn Féin to respond and say the government's not doing enough, extend the eviction ban, this is the way that it will work, etc. If you brought in an eviction ban and you reinstated it, how long would you have that eviction ban in place?
Well, back in 2020, when we had a ban on evictions introduced by the former housing minister, Owen Murphy, remember him, you know, that actually resulted in a 60% reduction in the number of people who were in emergency accommodation. So, you know, it can work if the other emergency powers are mobilised at the same time. And I know that, you know, Listen, 12 years since they have been in government, they don't have the political will to face this. Their focus groups are obviously telling them that their voters don't care about it. I think that, you know...
12 years in government, five with the IMF, when there was no money in the country to do anything. So it's easy to cast aspersions on Fine Gael, which Sinn Féin are obviously trying to do at the present time.
And you're in government now with the party.
Fine Gael and their colleagues in government worked extremely hard at dealing with the financial situation for the first 5 years. And it wasn't thought that they would succeed, but they did. There is a situation now, which is a serious situation in relation to housing. We have to deal with that as well. And it will be dealt with, without any shadow of doubt, because the resources of the country have been well managed. Something that, you know, everybody else was saying, when we had a rainy day fund...
You're setting fire saying, to money.
We need the money now. Well, let's spend it now. Now you know.
I'm really sick of Fine Gael carrying this thing about being fiscally responsible. They're basically setting fire to billions of euros every year with this long-term leasing that they have, where they lease homes from private developers and have to hand them back in 25 years.
Okay.
Upgraded. So don't be talking to me about being careful with money.
People who know how to be careful with money
are the people who don't have a lot of it.
All right. Okay. On that note, that's Fine Gael TD Bernard Durkin and Sinn Féin TD Rhéda Cronin. That issue is going to be debated this evening in the Dáil, and then a vote will be held tomorrow. So thanks to Rhéda and Bernard for joining us, and keep those messages coming in, because I want to catch up on some of them now. One here says a ban on the evictions should not be happening. Another one has come in to us to say, don't read out my name. In my view, the problem arose many years ago when the local authority ceased building houses. They gladly offloaded this job to the private sector. Look at the housing schemes built by the council as an example in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s and 70s. We had no support from Europe back then. And that comes in from a listener who doesn't wish to be named. And also Patricia Ryan, Sinn Féin TD, says that she asked Kildare County Council on Thursday what their emergency capacity was, and they could not give her an answer, and they have to come back to me. She's still waiting for that response. Another one here says the government couldn't run a sweet shop. That comes in from JJ. Eddie says, any sign of James Lawless on this issue, or has he gone into hiding? To be fair to James Lawless, Eddie, last week he was on this show debating this very issue with the Sinn Féin housing spokesperson Owen O'Brien. So we have spoken to Martin Hayden, we've spoken to James Lawless, and Bernard Durkin is the other government TD that we had yet to speak to on this issue, and that's the reason that he was invited on the show this morning. But James Lawless was on last week. Another one in here says, instead of TDs on opposite sides debating on the eviction ban, it would be better to have a professional person informing about the pros and cons of it. That comes in from JD. Again, JD, last week we had Dr. Lorcan Sir, who's a lecturer in housing, on the show discussing that. But ultimately, what's going to happen in the next couple of days is a matter for the government and the opposition, because that's where the debate is going to happen. There's one here saying that the poll says that 92% keep the ban. That comes in from Joanne. Joanne, that's on Twitter. 92% said yes on Twitter, but over on Instagram, 70% said no, I should say. So 92% said no, the eviction ban shouldn't have been lifted. 70% over on Instagram, so an average there is 81%. So that's where we're getting those figures from in relation to our poll. So it was 81% of KFM listeners said no, the eviction ban shouldn't have been lifted. 19% said yes, it should. Another one in here that has come in to us. Great to hear Bernard Durkin being held to account by fair and balanced questioning. Also good to hear Rhéda Cronin being given time and respect. Well, that's the purpose of this show, is to give equal opportunity to both sides to air their views. And then it's up to you, the listeners, to make an assumption there on who's right and who's wrong and what side of the fence you sit on. Why should the banks evict people from their home? Why can't they rent out the houses to people in them rather than on making them homeless. It would save the houses being empty and vandalised and a lot of people homeless. Also, a caller rang in to ask, can they look after the older people who want to downsize, start building retirement homes? The older people are being forgotten about. And finally, then it says Bernard is part of the government, but it sounds as though he's agreeing with Rhéda Cronin. So there you are. That's the latest that we have in terms of the response, but keep it coming in to us to the usual sources. After the break, if you're having the breakfast, you might want to just put it to one side, because live maggots in chicken and a dirty plaster in a curry were just two of the 4,000 complaints handled by the Food Safety Authority of Ireland last year.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Okay, there's more messages coming in to us in relation to that debate. One listener in Salon says you should do up all the boarded houses that are all over the country. That would help with the homeless crisis. It's a no-brainer. Also, one here from Jer says there's so many perfect houses that are boarded up in Rathangan that people could live in. Also, one here that says, good morning, Owen. I live in Athy. The one-bedroom apartment has been empty for over 15 months. Only ever needed one shot of paint. The council spent 4+ weeks renovating this. 3 days work for the next person waiting. The works on the above mentioned premises have been completed 6 weeks ago alongside the very large bedroom three bedroom house located at the same road, which has been completed for the last 6 months. I live on this street for some time now and I'm from the locality for 50 years. Why are they still empty, attracting the things like they were getting rid of in the first place? Don't worry about my name. That comes in there. So again, it is to do kind of with vacancy, dereliction, houses that could be used for homeless people. That's the argument that's being made there. Let's move on, though, to different issues now. And joining me on the line is CEO of the Food Safety Authority of Ireland, Dr. Pamela Byrne. Good morning to you, Pamela, and thanks for joining us again.
Morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm kind of happy enough that I had my breakfast a little bit earlier on and that I'm not eating it now, because a total of 7,363 queries and complaints were handled by the Food Safety Authority of Ireland's advice line in 2022. Some of these are quite disturbing, Pamela, to say the least, regarding the complaints that have been made.
Yes, that's right, Owen. And of those 7,000 queries and complaints that we received, 4,000 of those were directly from consumers, with 31% of the complaints relating to unfit food and 28% of them to poor hygiene standards. It is particularly alarming that consumers are still finding food on the market that is unfit, including, for example, meats not cooked completely properly, mould found on food, you know, food on sale past its use-by date, food that should be served hot and it's being served cold. And then, obviously, we have had complaints from consumers around poor hygiene standards in businesses where they've seen excessive flies and dirty premises, rodent droppings and bathrooms lacking soap, and staff not washing their hands, and really just poor staff hygiene habits. And really, in this day and age, it's not acceptable that we still have businesses that are putting consumers' health at risk. And so it's really important for us to hear from consumers when they go into these businesses and see that there are practices that they are not happy with. Then they can contact us on the advice line in the FSAI.
Okay, we won't comment on any particular report specifically, but I do just want to go through some of the foreign body contamination of food that was frequently reported in 2022. Commonly reported objects in food included pieces of glass, wood, plastic, paper, metal, hairs, small stones, medicine tablets and insects. Examples include a live snail in a pack of spinach, live maggots in fried chicken, part of a disposable glove in a Rocky Road biscuit, a dirty and possibly bloody plaster in a curry, a false nail in garlic cheese chips, a piece of glass in coffee beans, and metal shavings in chicken wings. And complaints regarding unfit food cited meats not being cooked properly, as you said, mould being found on products, food on sale past their use-by date, and food that's being served cold instead of hot. What's the process then if a consumer is in an establishment and they come across something like that? What's the process if they want to get in touch with the Food Safety Authority?
So we have an advice line in the Food Safety Authority which captures all of these complaints. We advise consumers to contact us through our website, which is fsai.ie/makeitbetter, because we really want consumers to help us as the regulator make it better and ensure that the environmental health officers and all the other food safety officers are understanding of the various different activities that are going on in businesses that could put the public's health at risk. Consumers really have a right to safe food, and it's really important that food businesses understand that they have this right and that they do everything they possibly can to make sure that they're producing food in line with the high standards of food safety and hygiene that are expected under food law, but also that they have a strong culture of food safety in their businesses. So we advise consumers, because there are 50,000 food businesses in Ireland, there are only 1,400 food safety inspectors who are inspecting those businesses, but you can't have a food inspector in every food business every day. So we rely on consumers to really contact us and let us know what's gone on. And once the consumer contacts us, we then follow that up with the food safety inspector who's responsible for supervising that business. That inspector then goes out to that business, investigates the complaint, understands what's going on in the business, and takes then the appropriate enforcement action. Some of those enforcement actions may lead to a business being closed for a number of days until such time as the issue is rectified. But we only the inspectors only close businesses if there's a grave and immediate danger to public health. If, for example, there isn't a grave and immediate danger to public health, then the inspector issues the business with an improvement notice, for example, which tells the business, here's where you have to improve, and until such time as you have improved, then you can't continue to operate the business in this manner because it's unsafe or could lead to a danger to public health.
Okay, and we're not just talking about unfit food and poor hygiene standards, because I note that other consumer complaints range from reports of suspected food poisoning to a failure to display allergen information. So this covers a wide range of topics.
Absolutely, and over the last 4 or 5 years in the FSAI, the top three issues that consumers have complained to us about are unfit food and hygiene standards, but they've also complained to us about suspicious or suspect food poisoning, issues around labelling, and I'd like to draw attention to the one around labelling. It's really important for food businesses to give consumers the correct information so that they can make the right choices for their own health. For example, if you've got somebody who is gluten intolerant or who is a celiac, it is important for them to know whether or not there's gluten in the product that they're purchasing. If they are not given this information and they purchase this product which does have gluten, then that can cause a really debilitating situation for a consumer. So, and equally, you know, another example of this is where, for example, if peanuts aren't identified as being in a product, consumers can have really bad reactions to these, and in some cases those can lead to really debilitating illnesses, or indeed worst case it can lead to anaphylactic shock and perhaps can be fatal. So it's really important, and we can't stress this enough, how important it is for food businesses to take the responsibility, their responsibility around food safety and hygiene, really being really, really important, and prioritise it and making sure that they're giving the information to consumers to make the right choices, but also that they're operating their business with a strong culture of food safety, to high levels of hygiene, and also that they're minding food safety.
Okay, and finally then, Pamela, you might just let us know the Food Safety Authority's advice line and also the website there if people want to get more information or if they want to make a complaint.
Yeah, the best way to get access to the FSAI and to make a complaint is through our website. It's fsai.ie forward slash make it better. Or if you also go onto our social media, which is Twitter or LinkedIn or indeed Facebook, you can also contact us there. And we'll give you the direct lines for you to contact us. That's the easiest way to get to.
Okay, that website again is www.fsai.ie/make it better. And that is Dr. Pamela Byrne, CEO of the Food Safety Authority of Ireland. Thanks for joining us, Pamela, and good morning. Yes, some of those would make your toes curl. And apologies if you're having the toast or the porridge when you had to listen to that. Live maggots in chicken and a dirty plaster in a curry were just two of the 4,000 complaints handled by the Food Safety Authority of Ireland last year. Back to the messages then, just before we take a break, and one has come in here regarding the eviction bans. If it goes ahead, the government will drive out smaller landlords, leaving them with no other option but to sell up and leave the market, and there will be less accommodation for everyone, especially when we have refugees. Some smaller landlords are in arrears in rent, and there's nothing that they can do. Maybe contracts are the way to go, etc., says Christina in Maynooth. Another one from Teresa in Rathcoffey says that the ban on evictions should be lifted because that's how she feels. She agrees that the ban should be lifted. And Dick Marr says, you never interview anyone from Sinn Féin. You bring them on, but you only bring them on for a friendly chat compared to the way that you keep shouting the government down, but not with Sinn Féin. That comes in from Dick Marr. On the other side, Dick, we get messages in here saying, how come you don't hold the government to account? Or others will say, how come you're so hard on Sinn Féin? So you have to find a balance. Not everybody is going to be happy with it, but, you know, that's the way that it has to be done.